All right, so we are continuing our series on the gospel and culture. I want to tell you how important this is, because some of you may think that this is like some new idea. This is so vital. You know, you are called to be salt and light, whatever realm of culture you're in. And just because you aren't called to business or education, or maybe you're not called to arts entertainment, like we're going to talk about this morning, you still have many lessons to learn. Because, you know, even though we may not be called to influence a certain area of society, you most likely are consumers of it. You are consumers of media. You are consumers of arts and entertainment. You're a consumer of the economic realm. So whatever, you have lessons to learn, because the church has fallen very short in its ability to be salt and light and actually share Jesus Christ throughout all culture. Like I talked about last week, many of us have succumbed to the four walls of the church. So we think Jesus is only related to that aspect of culture that's called religion. And because of we set up this isolation, this separation, when God is the God of the economic realm, the arts and entertainment, the media, the education, all of these different aspects, family, all of these aspects, Jesus Christ is King and He is Lord, and He wants to influence and infiltrate so that, not that He can release a curse, so He can release blessing. This is the absolutely crazy concept that God wants to bless humans. He wants to show them goodness. We are not out to try to condemn. He sent His Son not to condemn, but bring life and light into the world, healing, redemption for all creation. Well, amen. Hearts, hearts, hearts. Jesus, You have such a big heart. This morning we're going to talk about arts and entertainment, and it's pretty exciting. I thought, you know, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about Brad Pitt, something like that, you know. But we're not. We're going to talk about this whole concept of why in the world, what is God's purpose for arts and entertainment? Albert Einstein said, creativity is intelligence having fun. I want you to think about this. And you know, as I'm talking to, I want to call every single one of you who has a creative ounce in your blood to rise up and start doing something with it. Like, you know, these announcements that we do every week have turned into, and by the way, if you'd like to do sound and media, then, you know, they just join, talk to somebody. But like, there is such a need to release a creative expression in the church. And I don't know about you, I'm pretty creative and I'm very unsatisfied. I think that we are not even beginning to express what God wants to express in dance, movement, song, you know, multimedia expression. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if everyone is sleeping who has creativity, or if we are just an absolutely dismal, you know, monotonous group. We just want to come in like this, like drones, and come in and leave, and then say hi, see you next Sunday, bye. Well, if I did that, I wouldn't get any hearts. No hearts at all. No hearts online, nothing. It would be like mad faces. And the only mad faces I get right now are the ones who make a mistake and accidentally with their fat fingers press the button, and it kind of hits the other button. One time we saw a mad face during the COVID virtual streaming, and we called the person and said, hey, just want to check, is everything okay? And they were like so apologetic. They're like, oh my God, I can't even believe I hit the wrong button, and I'm so sorry. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I said, oh, whew, good. That's great. But let's start this summary statement here. In the area of culture, Johnny Enlow says, referred to as arts and entertainment, we see God as creator. This is glory of God's creativity coming through humanity, through His children who are made in the image of the creator. When we see the glory of God's creativity coming through others, it was meant to remind us that He loves us enough to give us a glory of our own. Your glory is your uniqueness, what you're known for, and what makes you, you. When you found the best version of yourself and you that God created you to be, you found your true glory. When your true glory causes others to be inspired and entertained, you're expressing an aspect of God as creator. Satan uses the principality Jezebel, which is seduction, and the demonic strategy of the Hivites, one of those seven tribes that the Israelites had to conquer going into the promised land. Hivites represent compromise. He uses seduction and compromise to distort the truth of who God is. God doesn't, the lie that is being propagated from the beginning of time is God doesn't want us to have fun. He's holding back on us. He just wants to torment us, and he's waiting with his lightning bolts to zap us when we do something wrong. Totally maligning the heart of God that wants to bless us and see us live abundantly and create and express after his image. God wants us to enjoy life. I think in our church services, you know, we need to keep this tension in balance because everything in life is intention, right? Right? I mean, everything. Otherwise, it gets shot out the end of the universe, right? Everything's held in tension. And, you know, there are times of fasting. There are times of prayer. There are times of serious, you know, almost wailing before God. And then there's times of exuberant joy and celebration. It's not a coincidence that God, all throughout the Old Testament, linked feasts with fasts. There's this balance, this tension, and I mean, I love, to be honest with you, I think one of our greatest expressions of joy in this house is when we welcome visitors. I mean, that's creative. It's new. I haven't seen it done anywhere. But it's like that creative aspect of festivity needs to just permeate so much of who we are as the church. We are just so staid and stuck in our religion. I'm trying to challenge us because, man, we're great at crying out, but, you know, are we good at celebrating? Like, I'm talking celebrating everything. I'm talking celebrating people in our midst. Having fun. We're really good at discipleship. Like, there's all these tensions, and we could get really serious about hard issues. But do we have just as much of that weight of that element to where it balances out to where we enjoy and celebrate and joke around about people and enjoy one another and celebrate their glory, which is their uniqueness. Hearts, hearts, hearts. Challenge us. Go ahead. Let's do this. Let's grow. I love growth. Yes, Lord. God, that lie, God doesn't want us to have fun. Well, the truth is that God wants us to enjoy life. The word Hivite means village of tents, and by extension speaks of the enemy's strategy to spread across society compromise and defilement through arts and entertainment. The Hivites were descendants of Ham and one of the seven nations, like I shared. They represent compromise as well as strategy to desensitize hearts and minds of society by entertaining us with seemingly harmless things that actually bring death and destruction. Jezebel is Satan's illegal principality, representing seduction. Her name means unchaste, or Baal is husband. Now, if it's interesting, if you remember the family session where we talked about family aspect of culture, do you remember that Baal represented perversion and was the main affront to destroy family? So here we have Jezebel, who's Baal, his husband, meaning that she is the destroyer of families. She's a perversion, the female counterpart, the spouse of the king of perversion, Baal. And together they begin to try to corrode the fabric of society. Think about this. Arts and entertainment has the power to destroy society. The demonic strategies to seduce people to distort what real life-giving creativity and entertainment is. Jezebel seduces, uses, and then destroys those she puts in the spotlight. Bacchus, the god of drunkenness, partners with Jezebel in positioning those on this in this area of culture to compromise, thus bringing essential pawns for Jezebel's plan to desensitize the soul of society to moral compromise. Johnny Enlow says, the true enemy in this great spiritual warfare that's taking place, specifically over Hollywood, is Satan. More than anyone, he understands the amazing glory and grandeur of true creativity and knows God's love for creating. Satan loves to poison this area of culture by deceiving the sons and the daughters of God. He will use them to either spew his filth through entertainment or cause them to run and hide from it altogether, leaving this entire area of culture void of the real light and life-giving creativity it so desperately needs. Jezebel will be crushed on this very mountain she has cast these sons and daughters from, but not simply by fasting and prayer meetings of the righteous or by hiding from the overall industry. Jezebel will be crushed by the coming tsunami of God's children who will see and know him in his creative goodness and light and then re-image him in all of society. Wow, think about that for a second. It's not only from the fasting and prayer, it's from the expression of the children of God releasing creativity that comes from the source of all creativity, and it trumps that which the enemy has to offer as a counterfeit. See, we don't talk like this. The church just talks about, well, we have this passive role. All we can do is back it up with prayer, which I am 100% for prayer. But there's a place where prayer takes action and prayer cultivates and draws out and summons the outpouring from heaven, and it endows a man with power, filling him, causing them to express in a supernatural way that stuns humanity. You got to get a hold of this. And I ask for everything you do in business. Are you endowed by the Creator in such a supernatural way because you're a child of God who has the Holy Spirit that you begin to release supernatural expression in economy and business to where people go, whoa, what is with this guy? In government, arts, entertainment, education, in family. How about in creativity? I mean, listen, I even see the worship team as this portal of creativity. Ask yourself, am I expressing a supernatural outpouring? Like, it stuns people because of the supernatural living God that endows this team, and boom, it just flows. There's a power released. Prayer needs to take action. Prayer needs to be released like a laser. Prayer compiling energy inside so much that it's like, it's released. Released like a light beam, released like power, released as demonstration. Oh, come on. Let's see, where were we? So, you know, the enemy's strategy is, again, to malign God, who he is, how he's seen, and keep the glory of his creativity from being released. He wants to prevent people from knowing God wants us to have fun and that he loves it when we enjoy life. Also, he wants to prevent people from experiencing a healed perspective of the goodness of God, especially in arts and entertainment. Now, many think our primary mission in arts and entertainment is to bring value and the message of salvation to the big screen, but it really isn't. Those are assignments for those in religion, where we showcase the Redeemer face of God. Listen to this. This is pretty powerful stuff. God is joyfully creative, and the manifestation of his creativity brings heaven's wow factor with it to earth. His creativity always reveals his glory and is meant to deeply touch our emotions. Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence is fullness of joy, and his right hand are pleasures evermore. I mean, if there is ever a God or that loves to enjoy abundance, extravagance, pageantry, expression, creativity, it's God. If God as creator has the capacity to impact even his throne room of glory with maximum joy and maximum pleasure, then imagine what could happen here on earth as we allow his creativity to flow through us. The creative aspect of God is perhaps the most overlooked and underappreciated one by Christians. And it's the primary reason that we've been less than successful with revealing a God that's delightful to society. This aspect of glory as an attribute of God's love, in essence, our goal is to see his glory restored to earth. He receives what we have become and displayed on earth. We are becoming back to God, what he has provided for us and through us to others. The Greek word here for glory is doxa. It's the general word for glory, but glory itself is a word with a wide range of definitions, and they all convey something differently. Unfortunately, or ultimately, it's the wow factor of the divine, and in this case, specifically associated with his unparalleled creativity. So you want to know what glory means? It's the wow factor of God. Well, how much do you see the wow factor of God in our midst, in the church, in business? And I'm telling you, mark my words, folks, this is God's heart, that the gospel would come out of the four walls of the church and begin to pervade all society. It would come out of this personal little box that we've all created in our hearts, and it would be let loose like a plague, a good plague, a good pandemic, a pandemic of glory. Really, where the whole globe will be shut down because everyone will be overjoyed, stuck in the awesome gaze of this incredible creator, where we're just awestruck, wow struck. Think about that. How about a global shutdown of glory? Where like we enter into the Adam and Eve type phase, where we don't have to work to even see fruit come forth from our lives. Where we don't have to work and sweat to see things created. His original intention was not that we had to work hard. It was that we would walk around and just say, oh, I had a great idea, a purple flower that I'm going to call it Iris. Oh, come forth, Iris. And this purple flower blooms out and you're like, yes, what a day's work. Okay, what else can I do around here? And we begin to speak and gardens are weeded because we just say, you know, I don't like you weeds, die now, and come and flourish. And the words just bring life. And we walk around just with our words, creating, speaking life. What a day's work. Be great construction if we just went, you know, white walls cover the ceiling. White drywall spring up, where we could just, like, you know, that, who's that? That guy in Marvel or whatever, and he just, Graviton or whatever, what's his name? Where he like just moves things and, you know, can you imagine? This is like, the glory of God is so easy, so enjoyable. We weren't intended to have to work by the sweat of our brow. we were intended to create like God creates. And actually, your work, the original intention of all of your work, whatever your careers are, is to produce and create out of yourselves something where you're like, wow, that's cool. You know, can you imagine if construction was like effortless? This is what God originally intended. Instead, we get cut, we get scraped, we get injured, our backs are tired, we wake up. Have you ever hammered something and you're not used to it, and you wake up and your hands are like this the next morning? I'm just looking to see who's not lazy. No, I'm just kidding. Because everyone's just going, no, it's never happened to me. Well, just grab a hammer and work with it for a day and you'll see the next morning. Some of you are going to go home and say, honey, where's a hammer? Do we have a hammer? Do we own a hammer? I want to see what he's talking about. What can I hit? Glory is the wow factor. Try it, Diane. God's true creativity lifts and inspires the soul, Enlow says, as opposed to Satan's counterfeit creativity, which is only capable of stirring up lust, perversion, fear, death, and violence. The big lie about God is that the way I entertain myself is irrelevant to God because he's not interested and he's too serious to have fun or care about my happiness. The big lie about God that's currently being perpetuated is that God doesn't want us to have fun. This lie is built on another lie, that God himself isn't fun because he's so holy and serious. That lie is built on yet another lie, that God can't have fun because he's busy policing all of our sins. We wrongly believe that if he can't enjoy us, then we have no right ourselves to enjoy things. Now, this is really what's spoken of in Isaiah 61. It's a desolation of generations. Our society is pigpiled with dysfunction after dysfunction, lies from generation to generation. And we're called in Isaiah 61 to be those who the Holy Spirit falls upon, to set the captives free, to preach the gospels, to release those who are in prisons, that they might see freedom and see life. Our whole goal is to see humanity free. When we perceive God as distant and uninterested in our fun in the context of arts and entertainment, we look like a bunch of children who had to sneak out of the house in the middle of the night in order to go have some real fun because our parents are too strict to allow us what we need. We have to have fun and feel happy as much as we need proper nutrition. We wither in every way without it. It literally affects our body, soul, and spirit when we go through life without enough fun. Those things that make us feel happy. God has clearly wired us for happiness, Enlow continues. When we feel happy, certain chemicals and hormones are released in our bodies that are vital for mental and physical health. When we don't have them, we're depressed. Our bodies begin to make extra adrenaline until they can't anymore, causing illness and extreme fatigue. Once we believe we have a God who could not possibly enjoy creative and celebratory expressions, then we unwittingly force a partnership with the counterfeit creativity that comes from the teeming with Jezebel. Arts and entertainment is the most influential sphere of culture of this age. We most definitely are an entertainment dominant generation. When we incorrectly perceive that God doesn't want us to have fun and could care less about us experiencing happiness in life, then we sing, write, create, and jest about things that further our belief that he either doesn't exist or doesn't care about us. Hearts that don't know their God cares about them do what any child does when he doesn't feel loved. They either try to get attention through destructive behavior, subconsciously daring their parents to intervene, or they simply disconnect their heart from the relationship. when we can't have what we value, we tend to protect our heart by no longer valuing that thing, right? If someone hurts us, we're like, I don't value you anymore. I don't want to look at you. If it's God's attention we value and need but can't seem to find, then like a toddler, we create drama and chaos around us until he steps in to rescue us from ourselves and the destruction we've created. Or we disconnect and distance our heart from God so that we don't have to face the disappointment. You know, I think there's something to this, and you can take it or leave it, but I want you to really think seriously about this. I want you to think seriously about an assignment of the enemy to distance and separate people in a terminal way. There's an assignment to break down relationship, break down society, break down family. I mean, listen, when you hear that families can't gather for Thanksgiving because of some plague, I just want you to consider what's going on. You can disagree and I will respect you. But there is an assignment going on. There's more than meets the eye, folks. There's an assignment going on to break down and separate and isolate. And I want you to be astute Christians, not gullible little followers. I want you to plunge into the Word. Find out what God is saying. Hear the heart of God. Know the heart of God. And know how to take Scripture and truth and apply it to life, that you can actually live a biblical life. And like not just be gullible. Oh, well, the pastor said this, or, oh, I saw on, you know, CBN, I watched a news show and he said that, but you didn't open your Bible. You don't even know what it says. You can't critically think. You can't apply truth. Like, it's time to wake up. It's time to really become an active Christian, engaged, knowing our heart, knowing God's heart, and knowing how we're to integrate with him and express his goodness. Okay, back to fun. Woo! We sing, dance, and act out our pain and rebellion it triggers in us, which continues promoting a false fantasy to the next generation. Generally speaking, with rare exceptions, celebrities end up promoting a destructive lifestyle as normal, healthy, fun, when in reality it's born out of rejection and disappointment with God. That doesn't make their performances or life work inherently evil. But it's destructive in that what they do, say, or sing about lulls others into the false conclusions about their own broken hearts. I mean, isn't it true? Like country singers, all they talk about is the terrible things that have happened in their life. And how they lost a girl, and how they lost a wife, and how they lost their love, and how they lost their business, and now they're just drinking and hanging out in the back of a pickup truck. They were given genuine gifts from God to express creativity and excellence through, but they found only a portion of their glory. Listen to this. This is one of Venlo's best statements, I think. Their best broken self rather than their best healed self. Like every area of culture, this cycle continues to advance a lie about what God is really like. So, the big truth about God in all this, right? This is kind of where we want to land the plane. To enjoy means to find pleasure in. God as creator wants us to find pleasure in the midst of everyday life. I know, it seems impossible, right? Creativity that reflects him and is a response to his love will provoke emotions in the observer that eventually lead to pleasure. John Piper calls it Christian hedonism. And it's incredible. It's an incredible topic. Something that pleases in the truest sense. Jesus said that the truth will set you free. When we experience arts and entertainment founded on the truth of who God is and how involved he is in our lives, then that area of culture will create freedom in the hearts of the ones being entertained. Freedom, not addictions to bondage, perversions that leave us forever unsatisfied. And you know, because we're all familiar with sin. Sin requires more than you were willing to originally give, and it takes you further than you want to go, and it leaves you sadder than you ever wanted to be. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came so that you would have life and you would have it more abundantly. Now, why in the world do you think he had to add that in there? Because he's like, life alone should speak volumes. Everything contrasting death. And then he said, not only life, but life more abundantly. Extravagant. And listen, when God says abundance and more abundantly, he means extravagant, not bearing any expense, not withholding back anything. When God is extravagant and abundant, that is a huge deal. That is like, get ready for outpouring party time. Gosh. I came to give you life and life more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for sheep. Satan is a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Often we partner with this enemy without realizing it, become instruments of pillage, death, and destruction through the very area we were meant to display love and life as we discover our personal glory. Jesus went on to say that he came to give us life abundantly. It goes beyond what we need or require. It's extravagant living. I just dare you to live extravagantly. I dare you. I double dare you. I triple dare you. Infinity, I won. That means we must stop pointing fingers of judgment at those in the entertainment industry because we haven't offered them a better way of creativity. We've refused to bless and make room for the creative God wanting to pour through them because it looked different than the boxes we made for them in the four walls of the church. The enemy of God loves it when we accuse one another and miss out on each other's strengths, appreciating the glory of one another, the uniqueness, furthering destructive patterns in our own lives, our bondage to religion and Hollywood's bondage to perversion. It's all the same in the eyes of the one who made us all to be free. God wants us free from religion and free from perversion. Think about that. Nothing thrives the way it was meant to apart from light. Christians must admit our part in the broken state of the entertainment industry. Our God is a celebrating God. He loves celebrating. He loves his kids celebrating. He loves parties, dramas, music, dance, humor, feasting. Like I said before, he after every fast, there was a feast. He was a balanced God. The kingdom of God, you know, our Christian DNA is about righteousness, peace, and come on, guys, and joy. And joy. And joy. And joy is not foolishness per se. It's definitely heavenly merriment. When the Holy Spirit first showed up, an explanation had to be made about his unprecedented presence and its effect on those in the upper room. Think about that. The first time that the Holy Spirit is poured out on men, what do they think they are? Drunk. in the middle of the day. The Holy Spirit, that's why it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It's not talking about wine being bad. It's talking about drunkenness, overuse of something, a lack of moderation, a focusing on counterfeits versus the real thing. And the Holy Spirit gives so much more joy, so much more fulfillment, so much more destiny, so much more direction, satisfaction than anything else in the world. So I want to challenge a call, summons a call to creativity. So a few things here. Carry a hunger to know the heart of God as creator in your own life so that you can bring it into your professional role in an authentic way. You know, some of you need time to just disconnect and allow the creativity of God to come and rumble in your soul. God forbid if you're stuck in a rut of mundane living over and over and you do the same thing every day without even taking a pause to say, God, would you like to do a new thing? Would you like to break in a new way? Would you like to disrupt my status quo and actually birth something new? Open my eyes, open my heart. Open my mind, my perspectives to something new, creative. Did you ever think about like these people who have new ideas? You're like, oh, of course. But yet, why didn't you or anyone else think of those new ideas before that person? Because creative things, new things, aren't bad and they don't, most of them, I mean, unless you're Elon Musk, right? But most of them don't cause you to go, what? How does that work? You're just like, oh yeah. You know, prophetic people are great at this. Whenever something happens that they thought they were clear on expressing, you know, oh, I knew that was going to happen. Really? Why didn't you share it? Oh, you know, because when things aren't concrete and expressed, it's easy. Everyone kind of has. It's easy to do that. Oh, I knew that was going to happen. Well, why didn't you say anything? Well, because to take something and bring it into an expression, it's a big step from that and some intuitive hunch that something's going to happen. To articulate, to express. That's why it just takes some time for God to just trickle down some creativity and for you to stop all of the madness and say, God, what do you want to do here? And let him break in and release something fresh and new in your life. Instead, you're stuck in a rut of routine that doesn't allow for God to break in. You know, and some of you don't feel like what you create must directly be about or connected to God or religion. But know that if you have a passion for something creative, art, entertainment, sports, you carry a great responsibility and accountability for what you promote in all you do and in your lifestyle. The world's literally watching you as you perform for an audience of one. Man, you got to just hear that again. This is like what this is all about. The world is literally watching you as you perform for an audience of one. I thought it was pretty awesome. I think it was John Wesley. It was one of the revivalists that literally he never had practiced preaching. And so he decided, I'm going to go practice preaching. I'm going to go to the woods and speak to the trees. I'm going to preach to the trees. I tried this when I read the narrative. I actually went on a walk in the woods, and I'd start preaching the trees. I'm like, listen, wave your branches. Hearts, hearts, hearts. That's where the hearts began. I just was in the woods, and I was telling the trees, wave your branches to the Lord. But literally, The concept here is an audience of one. It's like you want to grow in your gifting, you want to grow in things, preach to the one. Express your heart to the one. Do business unto the one. Entertain and be funny unto the one. And if you want to expand the crowd, go in the woods and start telling your jokes to trees. And they'll creak and go, ho, 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 ho. I think that principle, if we live by that one principle, and we live to the one, our lives would radically shift. If we gave God a little bit of time to disrupt our routine, everything would shift and change. We wonder, we say, we've been there, we've done that. Well, it hasn't done much in my life. I seriously challenge you that you are believing a lie. If Jesus Christ and the power of His Spirit being poured out in your heart has not radically altered the way you see life and you live, you have not experienced this one true and living God. You think you have. You've entertained ideas up here, but you haven't experienced this true one living God who jumps inside you and starts wreaking havoc with every way that you think and perceive life. Come on, folks, preach it, Sean. The trees just said it behind me. The sheep baa'd and said, "Bah, you're a bad, good preacher." Oh, so many of you are trying to just copy other people. You need to, like, seriously, don't copy and repackage someone else's creativity. Just for the possibility of success. God has called you. You are a unique person, a unique blueprint. Be who God's called you to be, unapologetically. Release your glory, your uniqueness, your creativity. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. I think it's pretty powerful here. One of the things Enloe says as he was closing is, reformers who have the privilege of affecting the masses through creativity will steward well over their influence, using it to promote directly or indirectly the true heart of God for the world. They will use the truth they've discovered about God's goodness and power to overcome every lie and teach the next generation how to live authentic lives with God in the center of relationships. In a real and a non-religious way. Many currently in the industry will have radical conversion experiences with God and will no longer be ashamed to go to Him as their source. They will extravagantly use their wealth to bring creative solutions to the worst problems on the globe and want no credit for it. They will weep at award ceremonies because of the presence of God as creator among them. They will not be motivated by money and fame, but will indeed make some great sums of money and carry fame that doesn't change them or push them to compromise. You know, this all kind of flows with our whole land, wealth, souls thing too, is this idea that God is going to release wealth. You know, He's going to release wealth in a profound way, that the church can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only to the people of the world, but the cultures of the earth. There's a great ingathering of wealth. It's a powerful time that we live in. And there's going to be an amassing that enables us to fund propagating the gospel. People, get ready. Come on. Come on, let's respond to God. Open your hearts now. Let's just pray. Let's respond to Him. You know, what's your role? What's He calling you to do? What lies is He calling you to break down and apprehend and destroy in your mind? What truths is He calling you to release and pray through and release and water with your prayer and let it build and grow. He doesn't want his life to just be in the four walls of your heart or the four walls of the church. He wants his abundant life to be in every aspect, everything you do. Lord, I pray you open our eyes, our minds, our thoughts right now, that you would just begin to breathe upon us. Lord, I pray you break down dead religion. Break down staleness, stale life. Oh, throw out the bad bread. Bake new bread and partake of warm, crusty bread. Lord, I pray that you start with our hearts, Lord, that you break down the old and make us new. Give us a new heart of flesh that beats and senses and feels. I pray right now for opening of doors in everyone's life here to make way for creativity, a fresh release of new life. Come on, just respond to God now. Whatever he started releasing in you, speaking to you. Come on, let's go. Talk to him. Respond to God. Make this real. Be a hearer of the hearer and a doer of the word. Put a plan into action. God, do this fresh thing in me. I surrender to you, Lord. Do this fresh work. Do this fresh work in my life, my family. Let me be a part of the fresh work released in the church. We resist confinement. We resist oppression. We resist confinement, isolation. Lord, do a work. Join me together with others in the body, Lord. Let this body of Christ not be anemic and have atrophy settle, but let it rise. Let it be, Father. Join me together. Ephesians 4, let it take place in my heart, my mind.